Hey Google, what's today's date?
It's Thursday, February 29th, 2024.
Hey Google, what time is it?
8:46 a.m.
Okay. So, I just did a live. I haven't done a live in a long time. I actually been recording every day. I haven't posted any of my recordings on my podcast in the last past, I don't know, like 2 or 3 days, but I've been recording multiple times a day. I did a live because I want to get whoever keeps trying to hurt me with the biotech. Like, you can't have my body, nor can do you have a say in anything that I do at all. Nothing. You only thing that I need is a human rights, civil rights attorney to sue. The only thing that the people that did this to me can do is pay up and damages for what they've done. That is it. Like, nothing else. Like, regardless of where, how I move forward, it's all on me. It's all up to me. But I feel like sabotaging my heater, lying about the fact that I had the biotech in my body, not paying me restitution. Like, I filed complaints and those investigations were closed, but then someone is still hurting me with the biotech. So I feel like it's like street justice at this point, because it's kind of like I did the due process, due diligence. I filed complaints. I did all of that. Like, I filed legal complaints. And someone is still trying to hurt me with the biotech. So the system has like failed. So it's like street justice. So I'm taking it to the street. So I did a live. I haven't done a live in a like long time, but I feel like someone is trying to break me, and they feel emboldened to be able to do, like, they've all, whoever been messing up doing this to me has always been emboldened. And I don't know how they're emboldened to even, who is buzzing me out of my bed? Like, what are you buzzing me out of my bed for? And you've been doing it for months. How is this even happening to me? Like, you're trying to like extract my life for the biotech that's in my body. That's pretty much what you're trying to do. I feel like you're trying to extract my life for the biotech in my body. And you're willing to do anything on earth to do it. And you can't have my body, nor can you have the biotech, nor can you tell me what to do with the biotech, because you illegally snuck it in my body. Once you do something illegal to an American citizen, you don't have a say. My body is not eminent domain. Like, everyone knows what eminent domain. Human bodies on U.S. soil are not eminent domain. That's a Supreme Court hearing that's coming. It's coming. That's coming. Like, but it's not, it hasn't come with me. I'm not eminent domain. You don't get to tell me what to do with my body at all. I'm not pregnant, so I don't fall under Roe versus Wade. Even though I think Roe versus Wade is ambiguous because of what you're doing with biotech, which is what I said in my manuscript. Right. So a lot of things I said in my manuscript, like, I had to piece my manuscript back together. But that is, I know that's one of the things that I said, is that the is ambiguous for the times that we're in with the way that you're using the biotech. But you don't get to tell me what to do with my body at all, because there's nothing under the law that even had, there's no statutes or anything in our legal system for dictating to me what to do with my body at all, because I'm not pregnant, right? Unless you go back before 1865, right? And we know what was going on before 1865. So I'm not skin, blood, and flesh and bones are not eminent domain. You don't get to fucking tell me what to do at all. But someone thinks that they've been empowered and emboldened to treat my body like it's eminent domain. And the thing is, they're mistreating me. They're mistreating me with it. I feel like you're trying to extract my life for the biotech, literally. And that's why I don't have any money. Because you're trying to, like, it's like keep your friends close and your enemies closer. You're trying to make sure that I don't have the money and the resources to even be able to make any moves to go anywhere. Because you're like, you're not harvesting my organs. You're harvesting my body and my life for my organs and the biotech that has been affected. Or my organs have been affected by the biotech. Like, you're harvesting my life and my body by denying me money, resources, to do anything, to even travel. I can't even afford to get my heater fixed. And then you're stealing from me by making money off of my words, not just in my recordings, but in my manuscript and my podcast. Even if people read it for free, that's still theft. You know why? Because I could have, that's piracy, right? And piracy is theft. It takes out of the pockets of the people who created it. So it doesn't really matter if you made it in sales or you made it in just downloading it for free. It's still theft. And I never let my manuscript out for free ever, actually. I published it. Like, when I put it out there, I published it. I did read the first 100 pages of my manuscript. And even that, I put under a subscriber format, you know. So I don't know, but I feel like not just with that, those are like, believe it or not, my manuscript, my recordings is like two of lots of other things that I've done that have made money, a laundry list of things that I've done that have made money that have been stolen from me. But I feel like the cherry on the top of the cake is you have biotech in your body. For that reason alone, you should have plenty of money and resources to not live like this, to live better than this, to pay all your bills. You know, they paid those doctors to put biotech in your body. You know what I mean? Everybody else got paid, you know, at my body's expense and someone else's profit. Everyone else has gotten paid. Why am I not getting paid for what another human, another doctor snuck in my body? It doesn't make any sense to me. So I did a live, you know, because I feel like I want to get the people who are doing this to me. I want you to think very carefully and think twice when you start using the biotech on me. I feel like it's very urgent for them to track and trace the digital footprint of, like, how it's used, when it's used, who it's used on, where it's used on a map in the human body. They need to know that. Y'all don't even know. Like, I feel like you don't know, but maybe you do. Like, that's why I put the live out there. Maybe you will figure out who's been buzzing me out of my bed every single morning. Like, I'm not a slave. The United States is not a plantation. What are you fucking buzzing me out of my bed for? What is going on here? What's this emboldened mentality? I feel like you're just trying to hoodwink and bamboozle me into some confederacy that doesn't exist. Like, this is the United States of America. We still have a constitution. And the way you're using the biotech, it doesn't exist anywhere in our legal system. But you want me to believe that it does. And my environment actually justifies your cause, because I hardly have any money. I have no heat. I can't get my heater fixed. I have cold water. And it's been 9 years. And no one's ever done anything about what's been done to me or my children. You've just tried to villainize me in every way. My recording, my last recording that I put out was switched. I don't even know if it was switched. Like, I think when I moved it over, it had number 36 on it. So I assumed it said number 36. It must have been number 36. But when it played, it was something completely different. And I cared, because that's not what I wanted to put out. But I didn't care. I don't care, because if it's true, then oh well. Like, I don't have anything to hide. So it's like, even if it got out there, I've been saying that I was going to just take like 100 of my recordings and just drop them in one day. just not even just take them off of my memory card, put them on a random podcast and just let them rip. And whatever comes out, and I think I said I was going to do that for 2015, 2016. I could take 100 of them from each of those years and just drop them out in the cyberspace. The only reason why I haven't is because of my kids don't want me to, because they're in some of them and they don't want to have their reputations tangled up in what Allegheny Health Network did to me. They feel like it's not fair to them. And I understand that, but I feel like they're trying to destroy me and they're lying about who I am and they're distorting who I am and they're denying me justice and restitution. And then I feel like even I told my daughter, I said, you don't want me to put out all those recordings that I have for the number of years that I was recording in real time with the biotech, but they're putting out your words when you disrespect me. I told my daughter, I said, they're using you and the teenage things that you go through and the pain that you've suffered. They're using you to provide cover and justification to continue to mistreat me. So why can I not put out those recordings? Because to me, those recordings will bring inside light into who I was as a parent and how I raised my kids. I have lots of them in real time interacting, because I used to just let the recorder run when I would go in and out of places because I was getting hurt. And I never posted them publicly because it really wasn't something that I wanted to post publicly. I was kind of studying myself and trying to get my footing with this biotech. And also I was doing it for documentation and accountability for metadata purposes, I always thought that the truth would come out and that, you know, someone would check in on me and know that what Allegheny Health Network did to me was wrong and that the right thing would be done. So I felt like the recordings were very important and I felt like it was necessary for me to do that, but it wasn't necessary for me to publicize it. But now we're like 9 years later and I don't have heat. I have cold water. I hardly have any money. And someone is literally, like yesterday, I was getting burned all around town. You would never know it though. Like if you watch my body language, that I feel, and I always said that whoever's hurting me, like I did a recording yesterday about someone hurting me. I said, whoever's hurting me, I feel like they're turning it up to see what it will take and how much pain is necessary to get me to like react. That's what it always feels like. I said, or it could be reception. Maybe they, you know, like I am, whatever's inside of me works very similar to a cellular device. So I said, maybe they're listening in, you know, maybe they can't listen in through some of my devices because my watch was on airplane mode. And I'm like, maybe because they're, you know, connecting like asynchronous, maybe it's causing burning too, because it was the top of my head. So I feel like what's next to my head, my ears. And what do my ears do? My ears ring and they do a whole lot of other things that I actually just don't feel like mentioning in this recording. So I was just like, maybe it's reception. I'm not really sure. But either way, it felt like it was getting turned up at certain points to the point where it was hurting me, causing me great amount of pain. But because I've been feeling this pain for 9 years, I don't bend the knee. You know, like in my live, I said pain without response, but it's power without response. You don't have any power without my response. So, but the power is the pain. Like you're using pain as a tool to gain power, but the pain doesn't work, or you don't have power with the pain without my response. So it's like, I laugh through it. I talk through it, but I be in pain. And I feel like, I always said that I feel like that's God's grace, because I felt like, it's a double-edged sword. And speaking of double-edged swords, Zendaya loved your dress. It was gestalt. It said a lot. I saw it and I said, okay, here, this is my drawing on the cover of my book was gestalt. Your dress to me was gestalt. It's a double-edged sword because it's God's grace that at times I don't I can, when I feel like it, I can choose not to react to the pain. But then I also think about the 60s, or I think about like Jim Crow, and I think about, you know, the training method is to have people who are in submissive positions to build tolerance against pain. Even with BDSM, which is a sexual act that a lot of people choose to indulge in that are wealthy, that are have high power positions, but it's still a subservient role of tolerance and cooperation despite pain, you know, which is something that I talk about in my manuscript, which again was the point in bringing it up was that humans have the ability to tolerate great amounts of pain. I do it for survival, you know, like survival of the fucking fittest. I could die if I had a bad reaction because no one knows that I'm being hurt. They're not really trying to protect me from something that they can't see, but they will try to protect themselves from me if they think that I might do something, which always makes me feel like I'm in a trap. It's like survival of the fucking fittest. You know what I mean? I'm always in an unfair position all the time. And even, you know, just like, and let me just say another thing, my leg didn't start getting twisted until a certain time, like closer to the morning. Like actually when I came home yesterday and I did the recording about how I was hurt all day, and it wasn't all day. It was like, I felt like it kind of was all day because it was before I got to Lower Borough, but I feel like it intensified when I got to Lower Borough. So it kind of was all day. But after I did the recording yesterday, I don't really recall getting hurt that much. And actually, when I went to sleep last night, I feel like I wasn't getting hurt at all. And I felt myself mourning, like mourning the pain that I suffered the day before. So I woke up in the middle of the evening, or I should say early morning, which is today, mourning, but before the sun actually came up, right? So mourning what has happened to me, you know? And I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. Actually, I laid there feeling good and that I wasn't getting hurt, but also mourning the hurt that I felt the day before, like just being, and then I felt anxious because I felt like the pain's going to come back again. Like, you know, how long will I get to be in this, safe zone of loving myself, mourning the pain that I went through, but also appreciating the pain that I'm not in. Like, I never get to really appreciate not being in pain because it comes back so fast. So I don't really get to mourn or to cry at all about what I've gone through because I'm always in like fight or flight mood. Like, you know, like I'm always on a battlefield. That's what it feels like. Like I live my life ready, you know, because my body has to be ready all the time because of how the biotech is used on me. And then when the biotech isn't used on me, I'm sad, but I'm glad to be sad, but I feel better. And I'm like, I feel like, you know, safety is around the corner, but then I get anxious because I'm anxious because I think that the feeling of not getting hurt is fleeting. It's like weird. And literally I feel like when I almost started to cry, all of a sudden I felt like it was like inching up at me. Like whoever is doing this to me, they try to cover my mourning with the biotech by using the biotech on me. I don't know if they're trying to give me an excuse for my tears. I'm not really sure, but I know that it starts again and then I stop crying. Like I'll, like, because now I have to ready my body for what's coming next. And then I get into like this military type readiness where I literally like become like Neo from Matrix, where it's like anything that hits me, I'm not going to allow it to affect me. It's going to ricochet. It's going to bounce off of me. But it's exhausting because honestly, when I'm alone by myself and I got through the day, I feel like I've been abused. You know, I feel like, wow, yeah, you were, you know, that Marine, oorah, even though I'm not a Marine, you took those punches, you know, you had that tolerance level. You performed socially and all that. You were the superhero, but it still is like you were hurt. Like someone is trying to hurt you, Nicola. Like they're trying to hurt you. Like, you know, like, and like, I feel like I'm very much aware of that. I think God, that the hurt doesn't move. If I don't want the hurt to move the needle, it's not going to move the needle. But I still be like in the back of my mind saying that whoever's hurting me is still satisfied, like Jim Crow. You know, you're able to discriminate and you're able to misuse or mistreat people while they give civility and tolerance. So to me, it's kind of like how I look at the border, you know, like the whole thing is, I wrote about that in my manuscript too, about the reverse psychology of, you know, earning your keep or earning your stay, but taking on, extreme parameters or conditions that not even Americans would tolerate. Just to be an American citizen is like, you know, like it's kind of slick in a way, because it's like, you know, y'all complain that they're criminals when really, you know, majority of them aren't. A lot of them work two jobs, 12 hours a day. They get paid hardly no money. They have no benefits. But it's like a reverse psychology. It's a way for them to build up tolerance and cooperation with subpar living and standards just to live on U.S. soil. And somebody might say, well, that's the price you pay. You know, I don't really know. I'm not going to say, but I do want to say that half of the jobs that those people at the border be taking, Americans wouldn't work it on a good day. You know, they want more money, more benefits. And then they complain about, it's so weird. They complain about them taking the jobs and lowering the standards so that they can't get paid more money. So then nothing gets done. So I was like, so eventually we're going to just go in the supermarket and it's going to be no eggs on the show. Because if Americans was working those jobs, them eggs would be $10. They would be $11 because they got bills to pay. They got everything in our country is too high for the average incomes that people make. The prices have to come down, not the money go up. Like, I feel like everything is too expensive. Everything. It doesn't correlate with what people typically make. And it's creating a situation where you have working homeless people, like, because they work, but the money they make can't pay the rent because the rents are so high. Like, and if they have children, oh my God. So it's just ridiculous. Everything, it's just, all of it is ridiculous, including the fact that someone keeps trying to remote control me with this biotech as a U.S. citizen. And I don't have any money, but you paid those doctors to put this biotech in my body. And there's nothing, and y'all keep saying no one's above the law, but there are no laws that even talk about what Allegheny Health Network did to me. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, but yet it's true. It's just sad, you know. Yeah, I don't know what to say. So I'm probably posting this free for a while until I can get it. Because, like, I have to do a lot to upload. Actually, I don't have to do a lot to upload into my subscription, especially since It's like Apple keeps telling me I have zero subscriptions, that no one's listening to my subscriptions. So I'm like, all right, fine. I'll just post it. This one I'll just post on my regular podcast. You know what I mean? Since no one's listening. And that's another thing. If no one's listening, that's fine. I'm okay with that. But are you censoring me? Like, so it's like, is it that no one is listening or are you censoring me? That's another way of stealing from me, by censoring my truth or censoring my words about the biotech and my body is theft, because people make money from podcasts. If you're lying about how many people are listening to my podcast, that is also theft, because the more listeners you have, the more capabilities you have as far as making money. So regardless of how it's working, y'all are stealing from me. And me and my kids don't have fucking heat. So that's the end of this recording.